Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning was our gospel lesson. Hear now selected verses. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Christ, whose word maintains authority over all things, dear fellow redeemed. Few modern experiences provide the same level of frustration as trying to call a customer service helpline. You first have to navigate what's called a phone tree or the menu. Press 1 for accounts, press 2 for billing, press 3 for returns, press 4 for customer satisfaction. And if you finally actually reach a real person, he or she might not have the authority to actually resolve your issue. The teachers of the law in Jesus' day appeared to be of little service to the people who they taught. Though they claimed to be experts in the subject of the law, they often wielded it as a weapon of their own oppression. Jesus was different. Mark first pointed out the authority of his teaching. The Pharisees may have been authoritative in heavy-handed politics, but not in their teaching. But authoritative teaching was not the only difference. Jesus had spiritual authority as well. Throughout his ministry, Jesus would often seek out the synagogue in whatever town that he was in and preach there on the Sabbath day. Because he was considered a rabbi or a teacher, they would invite him to come and speak and read the scriptures for that day. At this point in his ministry, Jesus did not have the popular following that he would soon get. He was yet relatively unknown. He wasn't drawing in large crowds, so the synagogue was his best opportunity to reach as many people as possible. Mark places the emphasis on the teaching that Jesus was doing. He says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. In this account, it is easy to focus on how Jesus showed his authority by casting out the demon from the man. And that was a cause of his fame, spreading abroad, after all. But it is not the main point that the Holy Spirit causes Mark to record. It was a teaching of Jesus that first captivated the people. It was the content of his preaching that set him apart from the Pharisees. The Pharisees held a high amount of authority over the people, but their authority was different from that of Jesus. They were supposed to be experts in the law of Moses, but these so-called experts missed the whole point. They used the law as a yoke to place on the people. The Pharisees had this idea. If God set the line at no work on the Sabbath, then let us say that there is a limit to how many steps one can take on the Sabbath, and no work at all, else you break the Sabbath. They thought that by drawing a line that was even more strict than what the Bible said, well, then they wouldn't be in danger of breaking what God said. The problem was, they went beyond what Scripture says. They came up with over 400 laws that you will not find in Scripture. By their outward keeping of these laws, they appeared to be holy before the people. They were the example. And so it became a burden on the people because no one, and not even the Pharisees, could remain perfect to that standard. Their laws thrust the people into a world of doubt about their status before God in a dependency on man on how to become better Jews. The same destructive teaching is around today. Many people who profess to be in the service of God wield the law as a burden over the people. The law is not to be used as a hammer that breaks the back of sinners in order to make them do what is right. The law is not what makes people better Christians. The law always condemns. Yes, the law can show us the right way we are to live our lives. But it also shows us every single time we fail to live up to the standard God has set. The Ten Commandments summarize the entire law. And yet there is not one commandment that anyone could say they have kept perfectly. To enforce a standard of the law as a means of salvation and a way to please God will result in a broken people. And this was the teaching of the Pharisees. And it led to a people who were stuck in darkness, not seeing the light of God's grace and mercy. This is the teaching of so many today who take that free gift that Jesus won for us on the cross and they overshadow it with the burden of the law. That is why Jesus' teaching stood out as one who had authority. And we are told in Mark 1 verse 14, the content of Jesus' teaching. It was the gospel. Yes, he would have read from the Old Testament, the very same source that the Pharisees had. And yet his message could not be more different. Rather than focusing on the law as a source of salvation, Jesus pointed to all the promises made about the coming Messiah. He showed from the Old Testament scriptures that God never intended that old covenant to remain forever. Because the old covenant was a two-sided covenant. On the one hand, the people had to keep God's law perfectly. Then, God would continue to be their God and rule over them. Shocker, it was destined to fail. Not on God's end, but on the people's end. So Jesus showed continually how God promised a new covenant that would come through the Messiah. That same covenant that was made to Abraham all those years ago. The one-sided covenant of grace. It was a covenant of the gospel. God himself would take on the burden of man's sin, and man receives the entirety of the benefits that comes from God's righteousness. Jesus knew the true meaning of the Old Testament. It wasn't just a law. Yes, law is important to remind the people of how sinful they were and how sinful we are. But that only brings pride or despair. Rather, it is full of the gospel promise. Over 3,000 times, the scriptures pointed forward to him, the promised Messiah, and in detail show exactly who he would be and how he would be the sacrificial Lamb of God who would bear the punishment for every single time that we fail to live up to God's law. Jesus preached forgiveness and God's grace to the people in the synagogue. That is why he preached with authority, because the truth of the scriptures were being revealed to the people that day. And it is the same truth that you come here every Sunday to hear. Your sins are forgiven because of Jesus, your Savior, because he died on the cross to pay for them with his blood. The law is fulfilled perfectly in your place. You are united with your Savior through faith, so that His death is your death to sin, so that His resurrection is a guarantee that you too will pass from being asleep in Christ to being alive forevermore at His side. These are Jesus' guarantees to you, and they are backed by the authority of God. As was usually the case, there came an opportunity for Jesus to show the people a proof of the authority of His words that His words carry. In this case, it came in the form of a demon-possessed man. We know that the demon possessing this man kept his presence hidden from those around him. If anyone was possessed by a demon, they were considered unclean, and thus they would be barred from entering the doors of a synagogue. And yet here was this man listening to Jesus, when in a sudden outburst he cries, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The outburst of this demon reveals much to us. First of all, even the demons recognize Jesus as a true God and promised Messiah. Among His own people, it could not have been made clearer who Jesus was, and yet they rejected Him. Though they knew He was from God, they handed Him over to the Romans to crucify Him. His own people did something that even the demons would not dream of doing. They are not that foolish. Secondly, the demons know their fate. The question, "What have you come to destroy us?" tells us that the demons and Satan know that their fate is sealed. There is no escaping the eternal torment waiting for them in hell. Thankfully for us, Jesus has overcome the power of Satan and his demons, so that you and I will not join them in hell. Thirdly, they do not know Jesus' mission. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" They want to go about their business, terrorizing the people, and they thought they had nothing to do with God or the promised Messiah. They did not know that it was God's plan for Jesus to be crucified, else they would not have rejoiced at the death of the Messiah. But Jesus did not even give the people time to react, but immediately He commanded the demon to depart from the man. Mark gives us the detail that the demon was convulsing and crying out with a loud voice as he was departing from the man. And while these were the visible effects of the demon departing from the man, it is not to be looked at as if the demon was trying to hold on to his control. The Lord had spoken. It had no choice but to adhere to His word. And the people recognized this immediately. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him." Demonic possession was quite prevalent in Jesus' day, especially in the area of Galilee. To see someone who had such authority over the demons that by a simple command they were forced to listen must have been astounding. No spells, no elaborate exorcisms, but simply the word of God Himself show power and authority over the spiritual realm. This served as a testimony to the authority that Jesus carried. It was God's authority. The people could look on this and realize that Jesus was no ordinary man, but He was the promised Messiah. And yet even this is not the most important testimony of Jesus' authority. As his ministry progressed, Jesus would make it all the more clear the importance of his mission. That it was not the healing of the sick or the demon-possessed or raising people from the dead, but rather the very content of his message. The gospel that he came to proclaim. That is the most precious display of God's authority. You and I did not see Jesus cast out a demon, nor are we likely to see anyone do it to this day. However, you and I have heard his word. You have received the testimony from God that Jesus Christ is God himself, who took on human flesh to be your substitute. The grace and forgiveness that you receive for your sins, that is the evidence that Jesus is who he said he is, and that he carries with him God's authority. This changes everything. Your Savior, the one who died for you, carries with him the declaration from God that you have been reconciled before him. Your life of sin is forgiven. Your future life of sin is forgiven through your Savior. So much so that not even the demons can drum up an accusation against you. Nor do they have any power over you. Dear Christians, you may depart in peace today and every day, because Jesus' word of peace that carries with it the full authority of God rests upon you. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Just a quick note of the create in me. Actually, I take it back. This is the right wording. I'm sorry. Carry on.